just be the start of a dynasty. This is history being written. The greatest moment I've seen in Premier League football.
Hey, welcome back to Across the Pond, the Premier League podcast hosted by Americans. We're sorry we've been out for a while, but we're back. We're back, and unfortunately, bad timing for Arsenal, but good timing for some other teams looking to make a push for the final four, or for the top four, I should say. Gentlemen, we're now 35-36 match week into the season. Arsenal is fresh off a loss to Brighton. They are now 4 points behind City, who have a game in hand. I hate to say it, but I unfortunately think the title race is up, but we'll discuss. We also now officially crowned Southampton as being relegated, the first time in, what, like a decade, probably? But we also have some battles for 16th through 19th, with Nottingham Forest, Everton, Leeds, Leicester. And then the battle for the top four, Liverpool coming off a fresh win, doing nothing over Leicester City. It's getting heated between Newcastle, Manchester United, and Liverpool. So a lot to talk about. Before we do that, how are you feeling? How are your spirits? Jacob, you fresh post-vacation. I'm just coming back from Chicago. Miles, you're enjoying New York summers, which is nothing like it. So how are we feeling, gentlemen?
Oh, feeling good. Feeling good. Feels like we're back to our old selves, you know. We maybe have a potential Arsenal choke job to talk about, which is, you know, everything comes full circle. Because first season, or maybe the second season, or right at the beginning when we podcasted, remember, Arsenal did one of these in 2012, so everything comes full circle. You know, we're all getting ready for next weekend, Shay. That is the main event of the season.
Here, young kids, to see that New Orleans fit. It's going to be spring in New Orleans. Nice weather, gentlemen. I want to videotape some footage, kind of like a Premier League post bus walk up to the locker room kind of session. So I want you and Fly Fitz. You know, I want to do what's the bag to the boot bag? What's the proper terminology for the boot bag?
No,
tote bag? Is it a tote bag?
It could be a tote, I guess. First, okay. It could be a fanny pack. Depends if you got that Calvert-Lewin swag.
Yeah. So we're going to have our tote bags, our boot bag.
We have a couple nice-looking fanny packs that you wear across your chest, I'm sure.
Oh, for sure. SojiClothing.com. Anyway, let's continue. But yeah, Jacob, Italy was good. Vacation was good. You feel refreshed?
Our travel was good. I feel refreshed. Tough to watch Premier League when you're overseas, but when you're in Europe, makes it much easier. I love watching afternoon evening game. Makes it much more enjoyable for me. I'm waking up in the morning. Got stuff to do, but yeah, I mean here we are, business end of the season, and let's do this thing, Shay.
I love it. Okay, so let's start with Arsenal. 3-0 defeat against Brighton. I mean, you hate to see it. You hate to see it. I'm secretly smiling a little bit inside, but I'm actually very sad. I'm very sad. I want Arsenal to win this trophy, and it feels like they've been robbed. What was it we said last podcast, 247 days on top of the Premier League, only to drop the ball in the final six, seven match weeks of the whole season? It's a bit unfortunate. Jacob, they lost 3-0 against Brighton. We had goals from three different players, and we know this is the same Brighton who had a great manager that was fired by Chelsea, so on and so forth. So what are your thoughts now, realizing that the trophy is basically out of hand for Arsenal? What are your reflections on this match, and just what are your reflections on Arsenal for the season?
Well, you know, as much as this match is about Arsenal, I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, many people may gloss over how great Brighton were, right? Because I think this just typifies Brighton's season, just about how good and how they've put teams to the sword, the wealth of talent that they have and the recruitment and continuing, you know, to bring in great players as they sell. There almost is, to me, like a Southampton quality to this team, although they are much better than Southampton ever was, but they're going to continue to sell players. This summer, the managers made no allusions to McAllister leaving, and they're likely to bring in a lot of great players to probably, you know, replace and continue to recruit well. So, you know, hats off to Brighton. But really, I think your question was about Arsenal, and if it's possible for Arsenal, you know, this season and this game to have underwhelmed but also overachieved, then that's kind of where we're at. I don't think anybody thought Arsenal would be challenging with that squad, that they'd be on top for so long that maybe they'd pull it off. But if not for them, City would have run away with this league. So I think we should give them a lot of credit. But ultimately, their demise comes at the inability to keep clean sheets at home and ship goals. You know, and they haven't kept clean sheets. It's really hard to win a title if you can't keep clean sheets.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, thoughts. Their last couple of games have, you know, really been, I think, you know, that's where the pressure has, I think, got to a lot of the players on this team. You know, we saw them start shipping points, and then since then, it's been, you know, a number of draws and a couple losses. And honestly, this game, I thought they were going to lose it, and that's it. I mean, pretty much, you know, Brighton has been kind of hot and cold, but when they're good, they're good. And I just figured that, you know, the Arsenal players, so long being on top, it's a young team. You know, I don't know if they have that experience. Well, you know, Man City season after season do these late runs, and that's like speaks to their mental fortitude. So it's a shame, but, you know, kudos to them for, you know, really giving the title race a great run.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're an Arsenal fan and, you know, you lose to Brighton and now all of a sudden you're counting on Everton to get it done against Man City, like that's never a position you want to be in, having to rely on a team like that to trump City. And I think, Miles, you kind of pointed out that City just are a juggernaut. And at the beginning of the season or end of last season, Miles, you were saying just crown City, crown them. They've done it. And I don't want to agree with you, but when you just look at how unstoppable they are, you know, they don't even need to play Kevin De Bruyne, right? That's how good their midfield is. They don't need to start Grealish. They can give players rest just like it's nonchalant to worry about competitions. And it's just an incredible team with, you know, high-end players that are all clicking in unison. It's wonderful. But I just think when you look back at the Arsenal season, you know, you look back at the Liverpool game, you look back at the game versus, you know, Wolves, you just, who else? Leeds. I mean, just trying to think, or was it Bournemouth? But they just gave up these matches where they should have come out with 3 points and only came out with one. And even against Liverpool, right? Like, you really thought they should have put Liverpool to the sword and won that match. So I think that's where the title was ultimately lost.
I mean, also, you know, let's be honest, the years that Liverpool have come within a point or won the league, you know, they've either beaten or drawn City. So you got to beat the best, right? Like, you can't win the league and lose both, you know, both your games to Man City. But yeah, I do want to say one quick thing about Brighton before, you know, we move on. I think I heard the commentators mention this, and I think it is a really cool thing that Brighton has been doing. I don't know who's doing their recruitment, but they have a lot of South American players from like non-traditional soccer powerhouse countries. So they have like, you know, a couple Paraguayan players, a couple Ecuadorian players, obviously McAllister, who are, you know, doing great. And I'm sure all these players are going to get moves to other bigger teams. But, you know, if that pipeline continues, this could be a team that stays in the Premier League and continues to be young and exciting and, you know, could be the next Southampton.
Yeah, right. That's what I was getting at before, Miles. And I didn't even think that, like, De Zerbi has taken them on to such a different level than Graham Potter. As good as they were under Graham Potter, I think he's just made them a lot more exciting and attacking and given them that flair that wasn't always there. I mean, because we talked about that with Brighton, like, they were capable of producing big results, but they, you know, did they really have the attacking prowess to create goals? And, you know, with a new manager who just plays a different style, he's taken them on. I kind of think that this somewhat reflects a little bit poorly on Graham Potter, maybe at the end of the season. I wonder how maybe this also affects his stock. The fact that his, you know, successor maybe getting them into, you know, a European place and playing more attractive football.
Oh, definitely. they like never scored under Potter. And now that, you know, scoring three goals against Arsenal, six goals, you know, a couple weeks ago. Yeah, this is probably the season Potter wants to forget.
Yeah, the only detriment for Brighton, which is not impossible, but they're chasing the hottest team probably in the Premier League other than Man City right now, which is Liverpool, who has the Europa League spot. So that is the unfortunate news for Brighton, but it's not impossible. So let's just give the listeners an update on the table. Brighton is sixth place. They just beat Arsenal. They're one place above Tottenham, but Brighton has played 34 games. Tottenham has played 36. Liverpool, who's ahead of them by 7 points, has also played 36 games. So theoretically, if Brighton was to win the next two games, right, that would put them at what, if my math is good, 64 points. 64 points on 36 games. They're still a point behind Liverpool, who's a point behind United, who's tied with Newcastle. So it could be an interesting finish. But Brighton needs to win every single game to be considered for Europa or Champions League play-in. And then we have the Conference League. Is that right? So, who knows? But we'll see what happens. But speaking about that top four and third through fifth place spots, knowing that Arsenal is definitely going to get second and City's doing great things, so we don't need to talk about them beating Everton 3-0. Newcastle tied this weekend to Leeds United. United won. Manchester United won 2-0. Liverpool won 3-0. Gentlemen, it's going to get spicy. Granted, Liverpool has one game ahead of Manchester United and Newcastle, but I mean, I have to think objectively, Newcastle's going to get it. Am I making you guys like, is this an early Christmas for you both? Am I saying that?
No, I think that's right, Shay. I think Newcastle, I mean, honestly, I think it's probably Newcastle and Liverpool. And maybe that's just the fandom talking, but you know, that Marcus Rashford injury has got to be concerning. And, you know, all they need to have is just one little slip or draw from United. I mean, I guess, do you think that Anthony's the man? I mean, who's going to put the ball in the net? It's got to be Bruno. It's going to be a penalty. I just think there's a lot more. Yeah, I just think Liverpool look in really great form. Newcastle, too, look in blistering form. And I haven't looked at who Manchester United play. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I throw you a bone, and this is how you pay me, Jacob. I'm out here praising Liverpool, and you said you don't think Manchester United is going to be top four.
I think it's if I had to pick one team to miss out between Newcastle and Manchester United, I think I'd probably say Manchester United, but. You know.
Okay. Well, Newcastle plays Brighton next. Does that change your mind?
Does that change my mind? No, is it home or away?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, usually the home team's listed first, but either event, you know, you got to win your home game. So, I mean, I look at United, and again, they still have a lot to play for. I play Bournemouth away, and they play Fulham and Chelsea, right? So those are the remaining matches. I don't know. Could come down to Fulham. Could come down to, you know, pod favorite team Fulham at the end of the season, spoiling it.
Miles, what about you? Who do you think gets third and fourth place? And who's on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I also have to say Man U drop, Shay. I'm sorry. I know you said Liverpool are the hottest team in the Premier League, and you could say it again if you want. That was nice to hear. But yeah, I just think they have a tough run. Those games are not going to be easy for them. And losing Rashford, I think, is huge. I think we saw Varane back this weekend, so that was a big boost for them. But, you know, I don't know. I think that team is tired. There are a lot of injuries. And I just feel like, you know, Newcastle are kind of on the up, and Man U are kind of, you know, struggling to maintain a consistent run. So I'm sorry, Shay.
Yeah.
It's going to be Newcastle, then Liverpool.
Look, it was good to see Martial score this weekend. You know, he's been up and down of late. I don't know, Shay, like, do you feel that you can rely on him to get the vital goals that are going to, you know, make you guys finish in fourth place, or even third?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we just found out that Marcel Sabitza, am I saying that right?
Yeah, Sabitza.
Sabitza, I always mess up his last name, is also out for us this season. So, but I mean, but as long as Casemiro is playing and, you know, depending on what Anthony we get, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. I don't trust Newcastle is going to bring this home. For as amazing as they've been, and for as amazing, you know, Eddie Howe and Unai Emery both considered for managers of the season, you know, on top of Pep, who's just going to be there. I think that I just don't see how they're going to finish it out. That Brighton matchup is going to be insane. And they haven't been the best, you know, in against key matchups and key moments. I had to hope Chelsea's going to get a point against him. I just have to go with my gut and my hope, which is that United is going to get the top four, right? But I also do think Liverpool's going to creep in there. I do. Hmm. I do.
Well, it could be the most Liverpool thing ever to be, you know, they're playing Southampton on the last day of the season, already relegated, as we're going to talk about. You know, we remember when they got crushed by, what was it? Was it Stoke? Miles, was it like 7-0 at Stoke or 7-2? I can't remember the last day of the season.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so we'll see.
That's awful. I do remember.
Yeah, and then you also have them, Liverpool, play Aston Villa, which, just given how great they've been under Emery, so that is not a given either.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there were some other good matchups too, right? We saw West Ham lose to Brentford. West Ham's a team that was in the relegation battle, escaped it barely, but doing their best job of trying to be back in the conversation. And then we also saw Aston Villa beat Tottenham. Again, the team with potentially manager of the season, being a team that has high expectations in Tottenham. So let's see. But let's talk about the bottom of the table now, Jensen, and let's try to wrap this up. So we got 9-4 is at 34 points, Everton at 32, Leeds at 31, Leicester at 30 points. As far as matchup goes, 9-4 is plays Arsenal and then Crystal Palace, right? That's that. Think about that before you make your decision. Everton plays Wolves and then Bournemouth. And then we have Leicester City playing Newcastle and West Ham. And then lastly, we have Leeds playing West Ham and Tottenham. Predictions there. Who do we think stays in the bottom two? I personally think it's going to be Leeds and Leicester. I think the combination of West Ham and Tottenham for those two teams is going to be dangerous for them. And they just have been, they haven't gotten a win in any of the last, or Leicester has actually, but they haven't played well and gotten a significant win, at like a strong performance win in any of the last five matches. So I think it stays as is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Shay. I mean, I just cannot see Leeds getting anything in their remaining matches. I just don't see it. And then I can't see Leicester either. I mean, they got put to the sword 3-0 by Liverpool today. And it just, you know, wasn't a lot of fight there. And then they're just defensively weak. Again, I want to believe that Everton will hold on. I think they probably have the best manager of that bottom group. And then I just think Forest are just without, Forest and West Ham are just beyond reproach. Forest especially. I mean, you talk about managers of the season. I would really give credit to Steve Cooper. I know some of us predict him to be the first manager out, and with as much instability that they've had with the players there and the group, I mean, he's done a really good job. And, you know, Awoni with two goals this weekend, I think that probably sees them safe. But yeah, I just have to agree with you. And I want there to be a Merseyside derby. And I want to see, you know, I want to see Sean Dyche make Everton, you know, a boring team in perpetuity, with just 0-0 goals to get them to 0-0 games to get them to 30 points every season, 32 points, and have them be safe. It would make me really happy to see them be incredibly dull.
Yeah. You know, it is funny that we have really been covering kind of the rise of Everton, where they were almost, you know, there was a moment there when they could have been like a top four team. They had the money, they had some good players. Lukaku was like scoring tons of goals, and we've just witnessed the like crash and burn of this team. So yeah, but that's it being said, I think you're right, Jacob. They'll just be pretty boring from now on out, but I think they'll be boring enough to stay above Leeds. You know, unfortunately, the more exciting team. But when you play like that, you leave yourself open. And even Big Sam, I don't think, can get that defense organized enough to keep things together. So, yeah, I think I agree. I think both teams go down, which is sad. You know, two teams that I've enjoyed watching over the last couple of years. So, bye Leeds, bye Leicester.
Yeah, I mean, we should mention that Southampton are already gone and buried. I know, you know, Eric will be happy. He's had enough of Southampton. Just never liked Hasenhüttl, so this is some sort of, you know, karmic revenge. But yeah, if James Ward-Prowse goes, like, where do you guys think he'll land in the Premier League, and like, what is his ceiling as a player?
That's a good question, Jacob. I know Shay is happy to see Southampton gone. This Shay, you know, you've been predicting Southampton to go down for as long as we've been doing this podcast. We're right at least once. but yeah, that's a good question, Jacob. Ward-Prowse, I feel like a couple seasons ago he could have maybe played for a team like Arsenal. Now I think he's a bit past it. But I think he'd be a great addition to a team like Everton or any of the teams in the bottom half, maybe Brentford, even Brighton, a team that just needs a midfielder with good passing. And, you know, he's deadly with the set pieces. So I think he could, you know, any team from, you know, really seven down, that's his ceiling.
Yeah, you don't think he could maybe sneak on to a Champions League team, Newcastle? Like, he seems like he'd be a very... they don't go full Galactico. You know, that wouldn't be a bad option. Maybe even like Madison as well, if Leicester go down.
Yeah, Madison definitely. Madison, I think he's definitely... I mean, he's young enough. He's good enough to be, I think, in a top caliber team. Ward-Prowse, I feel like... I don't know. I feel like Newcastle ditched all their, like, you know, they got rid of Shelby. You know, they're the long... What's it? Longstaffs. The Longstaffs are also like on, you know, their staff. They're not getting. They're on the short staff, on the short list out. So, you know, I don't know if he'd get in there.
Yeah, Longstaffs are a dying breed. Yeah, I think I'd like to see Ward-Prowse maybe on. You know, I could see him maybe being on Tottenham. Like he's kind of like.
I could definitely see that.
2.0, right? It just it seems like someone they would buy. I mean, who needs a free kick?
Definitely, special? That's a good shout. That's a good shout.
But you know, I can also something crazy. Like I could see him going to Man City. I could see Pep going mad and being like, you know what, we're losing Gundogan. This guy can hit a dead ball. Why not? And then make him into an amazing player.
Dude, stop. That's like, I mean, that would be pretty crazy, but no, come on. I don't think any, like, you know, I guess to turn the question to Shay, you and Jacob, beyond Ward-Prowse, is there anyone on that Southampton team you think that will be getting moves up?
I don't personally think so. I think he's the only one that's of significant value. I mean, for his, and he's in the significant value position because of his ability to capitalize on these set pieces, which should not be underestimated at all. I mean, I think there's some players with some potential upside in the near future, but he's the only one I'm approaching. Let the other guys go down with the rest of them.
I know Bella Kolchap and Lavia are probably two of the other outstanding players and was an otherwise, you know, unremarkable season for Southampton. I know Peter really thinks very highly of those, and you know, maybe they will again. Moves, we'll have to see. But yeah, just a really, you know, forgettable season for them.
Very unfortunate. But we'll keep our eyes out for Leeds and Leicester. Again, my prediction is to go down, and hoping for the best for Everton. Hoping for the best for Everton. We need those Merseyside derbies. All right, gentlemen. Lastly, we have Champions League this coming week. We know the Real Madrid and City tied 1-1 in the first leg. Inter beat the other Milan 2-0. And both of those games are tomorrow and Wednesday. So some exciting football there. I would love to see City do a three title thing. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a City fan. I actually would hate it personally, but it would be nice to see for Pep and for that team. And Haaland, the difference he made. Miles has been saying since day one, he's the X factor.
Man, are you a Klopp City fan? Because that's going to require booze in the...
Absolutely not. But I like to see great accomplishments for teams that deserve great things.
Wow, you could be all that stands between City and a treble. Crazy.
Oh, for sure. All right, gentlemen. Well, any last words for our listeners? Jacob says peace. Bao says swagometer. We got to get back on it. Okay. I love it. Well, enjoy your weekend. We'll catch you next week. Next week will be probably, let's not jump to conclusion. Let's keep you on your toes. Next week we may have a surprise for you. It'll be the week of a big week for one of our lives, and then the gathering of the trio for the first time in probably some years. So it'll be a good one. Well, we appreciate you listening in. We'll catch you soon, and you know where to find us. Zoom, Marketplace, Stitcher, Podcasts, Apple, Google, whatever, Spotify. You're listening, so you know where to find us.
Peace. Man, there's only one single guy left on ATP.